Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health. I have a story today. We're going to start with a story. But before I start with the story, I want to say that I did a show last week on headaches, and I had a gentleman remark to me, and this was a gentleman with really bad neck pain. The neck pain had gone on for years. There had even been the prospect of surgery. But he didn't have headaches. And so he told me, he said, Dr. Medici, because he had come into the office, he said, you know, I listened to the show, but it didn't really grab me because I don't have headaches. Don't do that. If you listen to this show, and I start with a topic, the way this show is designed, and the way you can then focus in on very, very specific issues with people, but at the same time, teach everybody is the art of the show. And this is a classic example. Here's this very nice gentleman that suffered from neck pain for years. He doesn't listen because the show in his mind is on headaches and he doesn't get headaches. If you listen to that show, there was a tremendous amount of information on neck pain. So when you look in the archives or when you listen in on the show and you just hear the topic, I assure you that there's no topic I do. I design the show this way. There's no topic I do that isn't going to tie itself into something as it relates to you. And today's show is about people that I think generally are over the age of 70 years old. For lack of a better word, we'll call it the geriatric crowd. I think that's a terrible word. I think it's more appropriate to talk about people who are in their, you know, second phase of their life, looking for second careers, looking to finish up and tie up all the things they couldn't get to do in the earlier years because they had family and kids, because there wasn't enough wisdom to really bring to fruition all their dreams. I think that's a much better way. But in the common vernacular of the time, it's the geriatric crowd, the senior citizens. So if you're 20 years old, 30 years old, and you're listening to this show, why should you listen to a show about senior citizens? As any senior citizen will tell you when you're 20 or 30 that you're actually mortal, that there's such a word as mortality, it hasn't really occurred to you. I know it didn't occur to me until my 40s. But here's the point. This show is for you if you're 15, 20, or 30. So let me begin with a very interesting experience I had this last week. I got a call, a frantic call from a young woman that I know, a business colleague, and she was distraught. She was almost hysterical because her beloved grandmother, who she lives with deep in the valley, and we'll define that in a moment, who she lives with and takes care of deep in the valley was what we call despondent, not responding, ebullic, not comatose, but just not quite there. And she called me frantically because her grandma, who's 99 years old, this is a key to this story. Grandma is 99 years old. And grandma's in bed and she's like she's not there anymore. And this is scary. It's scary for anybody if you love the person in that state. It's scary for that person themselves. And you don't know what's going on. And when they're 99 years old, it's complicated. There's so many things. You have to really be the Sherlock Holmes of diagnosis. You got to get in there. You really got to feel your way around. The story goes she had fallen a few days earlier on her head, cracked open her head, didn't break the skull, did not fracture the skull, but took quite a knock, quite a wallop, and we'll get into that in a moment. And she was discharged from the hospital there deep in the valley, in that Van Nuys, deep Sherman Oaks area, San Fernando Valley. Some of you know it. Some of you haven't been there in years. Some of you have never been there. Valley's a special place. Many phrases in the lingo of Los Angeles have derived themselves from the valley. Valley girls. Citrus oranges, lemon groves. I mean, there's a whole history there in the Legion history of Los Angeles that the valley, the San Fernando Valley, is very much a part of. So this girl's in trouble, and she's afraid. And I get in my car, this is after work, and I drive to the house deep in the valley. Not Ventura Boulevard, but north of it, towards the mountains. And as you go more and more towards the mountains, you go deeper into the valley. And I drive to a home, and it's an old home. And I come into the house, and momentarily I'll be introduced to Grandma, 99 years old, in this state. But I look at the house, and the house, I get nostalgic right away. Because I know these homes deep in the valley. They were built in the 20s, the 30s. They're all wood. It's not the modern architecture. It's when people really put up homes with their hands, when there was more craft in a home. And even if the home is simple, the home is connected to the earth. It's a different feeling. When a woman's 99 years old, and when she moved into that house coming from the state of New Hampshire back in the, I think, 30s or 20s, when she moved into that house, I think in the early 40s, what a house that must have been. And I'm picking all of this up, and there's hundreds of pictures on the wall, generations of family, grandchildren, everywhere. This house has history. And so this frightened little girl takes me into this room, and there upon the bed, a simple room of a good Christian woman, is this little old woman, this cute little thing lying on the bed, shriveled like an apricot. And she's not quite present. And she's got this look on her face that I don't understand. And so I ask the young girl, I say, what is Grandma's face telling us? Oh, I think Grandma's just confused. Well, certainly Grandma was confused. Now, they had made a mistake in the hospital. You see, they discharged her, and they do what doctors tend to do. They look at old people and say they're old. They say they're 99. They say that, essentially, there's nothing to complain about. If you make it to 99, if you make it to 90, if you live yourself 5 to 10 years past that age that we're all supposed to pass, well, you're on borrowed time anyway, so don't complain. And God bless the doctors, they're overworked. This is no criticism to them. They're in a system that doesn't really work that well, but that's still probably the best in the world. But lots slips through the cracks. And this is an example of someone that slipped through the cracks, partly because she is 99. So they took her into the hospital that 2 or 3 days earlier because she hurt her head, and they discharged her. They did the CT scans of the brain. They, and correctly so, and justifiably, and in the practice of good medicine, wanted to make sure through the CT scan that she wasn't bleeding into the brain. And she was not. Now here's a woman, she's on Atenolol. She's on other blood pressure meds, lisinopril. She's on a whole host of things. And you don't know in that moment if, in that she's on 3 blood pressure meds, and in that blood pressure meds are always overdosed. You know, in chiropractic school, I had a teacher, Dr. Cato. He was a pharmacologist. He owned 10 drugstores. He was about 65. He sold them all and just wanted to teach pharmacology at the chiropractic school. And I'll never forget the day he got to the subject of blood pressure. And the man was not one to share his personal feelings. He was that way. But when he got to that lecture, somewhere deep into the trimester, He admitted to us that one of the main reasons he sold his drugstores and quit was blood pressure meds. And I never forgot that. He said they are the singularly most overdosed, abused medicines in medicine. And you start with one, and you're going to end up on four or five. So immediately I come in, and this little story from this teacher never I forgot. So I know she's on three blood pressure meds. And what happens very often on the blood pressure meds is that the blood pressures begin to go unstable when there are too many, or the person's not medicated correctly with the right ones, they start to go unstable. And this instability often occurs when the person starts to stand. So if you're listening to the show and you have a grandma you care about, and she's doing what? She's falling down a lot. You got to ask yourself, is she on blood pressure meds? And you got to make sure your medical doctor's on top of this, because blood pressure meds dilate arteries. Arteries, as I've explained in the past, are always in this expansion-contraction phase. When they're more on the side of expansion than contraction, which is what these meds do, they're vasodilators. When you're more on the side of expansion, sometimes the blood pressure will drop too abruptly, too fast, at exactly the wrong time. And often this is when you're moving from seated to standing, or when you turn your neck suddenly. So this is running through my head. Then, of course, there's the heart. Is the ticker conking out every now and then? How would you know if it did? How would you weigh that against blood pressure? Well, a 99-year-old heart, what is the one organ that never rests? It's the heart. Those cardiac cells. Cardiac muscle is its own special animal. Histologically, it does things that still rival any concept that we can use to understand that the heart just never stops. I mean, think of that. Everything rests. When does the heart rest? The heart and the muscles of the eye. The muscles of the eye never rest. When you sleep, they're always moving. That's why you've always got to watch little eye twitches. They signal symptoms that are portents of things to come. But muscles of the eye, one, the heart muscle doesn't rest. So you have a 99-year-old heart. What's the background? The echocardiogram, is it pumping enough blood? Is there anything, has there ever been anything on the EKG that's telling us that the heart goes haywire? Is the rhythm of the heart, the Purkinje fibers, so on and so forth, that thing that goes down when you get a pacemaker, is not the beginning of this. Now, this woman's 99, and there's nothing wrong with her heart, supposedly not in the sense of any of these things like pacemakers and congestive heart failure. She's got a good heart, as we're told, but this is how the diagnosis has to go. And then, of course, a valve. She blowing a valve. Is the aortic valve going? Is the mitral valve going? Is the pulmonic valve going? Because when the heart contracts, it pushes blood through the aortic valve. If the aortic valve is regurgitant, meaning it has a backflow of blood after the contraction, then you lose perfusion. Yeah, you can understand these things. I talk to people all week. I get them to understand this. You can understand this. You have to understand this. You understand how to put your money away. We understand politics somewhat. We can understand this much about health because it's comforting, that knowledge, that power. That power allows you to do what you're listening to me do. And believe me, it doesn't take that much. StraightTalk.cc. And what we do on this show is we compile archives, and then you listen when you can. It doesn't have to be, all right, always on the moment that we do the show. Hopefully, you get to the archive, and you listen to the show's recordings, and you study. So there we are in the middle of this diagnostic sort of a frenzy. And then, of course, her weight. What's been going on with grandma's weight? Grandma's lost a lot of weight. Weight loss can mean cancer. So this moves through your head. So you look at the woman's lovely little face. But she's too vital. There's just something about it that doesn't smell of cancer. Not to mention the fact if you make it to 99, you've got a resistance built into that. You probably would have had cancer many years ago if you were headed for cancer. So what's this muscle mass about, this loss of muscle mass? And all of you out there in the audience know that moment where you realize grandma or grandpa are losing weight. They're losing muscle mass. And I know you know what that is. And that's the beauty of it. You know what that is. The digestion's going. The digestion's going. They're not digesting their food. Or what? Their teeth are falling out. And so they're not eating foods that have anything to build muscle mass. Now, while you're thinking about that, then you're considering dizziness. Are they falling all the time because they're dizzy? Are they falling because they don't have muscle mass? Are they falling because their digestion's poor and they're anemic? And if they're anemic, no oxygen, no oxygen to the brain, the brain conks out and they fall. So the issue becomes, how are they falling? So I asked the young girl, how is your grandma falling? The next time she starts to fall, and of course she's always falling now. This is the problem. They fall, they break their hip. They break their hip, they don't move. They don't move, they get pneumonia. They get pneumonia, they get plugged with antibiotics, and the antibiotics go IV, and that's done. This one's not going to go that way. Not if I could do something about it, not if that family can do something about it. Grandma's 99. Grandma's going to make 100 and maybe 110. And not that it's a race, but there has to be dignity in the process. It's dignity what we lack. It's not aging. It's aging without dignity. You talk to older people and older people will tell you, I don't care if I die now. I'm done, in a sense. I want good years. I just don't want to sit there like a basket case. That's what they tell you. That's the truth. And they're right. It's not death. It's death without dignity. And I'm sure this family has dignity because I know this family somewhat. And they're going to bring the best that they can bring to make sure that grandma, when she passes correctly. If at all, maybe she's got another 15 years. That's in God's hands. Our job, my job, their job, is to bring dignity to the process. So there you are on a cold, sort of stormy night deep in the valley in a home. I want you to get the full impact of this because this is the reality of medicine. This is what your doctor goes through or doesn't go through. This is what you can offer when you do a house call, which other doctors don't understand the virtue of. You have to understand diagnosis from the context of the environment the patient is in. Once they're in the hospital, good luck with diagnosis. You depend on your lab work and your test. Good luck. There is no substitute for the clinical history. The clinical history is not the physical diagnosis. The clinical history is where do they live? What do they do? How do they eat? What's their mood? What kind of pillow do they use? The insight you get from a house call is tremendous. You can put the entire symptomology in the context. The true context of diagnosis. A medical doctor that will agree with that, Abraham Verghese, I can't even pronounce his name, it's complicated. V is in Vincent, E, R is in Richard, G is in girl, H is in Harry, E is in elephant, S is in Sam, E is in elephant. Abraham, what I just said, V-R-G-H-E-S-E. Get on the YouTube, Abraham Verghese, A Doctor's Touch. That's the name of the YouTube video. It's on TED, TED.com. A Doctor's Touch, Abraham Verghese, V-E-R-G-H-E-S-E. Listen to this man talk. This is what doctors should be. This is what doctors should remember. I want you to do that, and then I want you to get on my show, get on my website, straighttalk.cc. I want you to watch that. I want you to comment on that. I want you to do that. I want you to understand how doctors are starting to think more and more and more. There are good doctors out there that are not just tooting to the line of the protocol. They're thinking outside the box to deliver you better health care. Now, he's not the minority, unfortunately. He's the minority of medical doctors. But I want you to get to that video and see it. And this is what I'm involved in that night, deep in the valley, in a home made of wood that, when this home was bought, was part of an orange grove or a lemon grove. And yet no more than a quarter mile north, more towards the mountains. Don't be there at night. Don't. Because it's a dangerous neighborhood. It's run by gangs, warlords, drug dealers. It was an upwardly mobile, pristine, godly neighborhood deep in the valley, the San Fernando Valley. And there it is. And there I am looking at this lovely old woman clinging to life in the last years. And she's 99. And only 3 days ago, she was vibrant. And now she's a bullock. She's non-responsive. And unfortunately, what the doctors did not take the time to share is that she had a concussion. They didn't tell the young lady, who's extremely bright, who could go to medical school herself, who could become a doctor. What they told this young girl is essentially nothing. She wasn't bleeding on the brain. Well, that's good. I'm glad we got that one straight. But they didn't tell her she's in a concussion. Concussions will do that. And what they should have told her is a concussion will start to become symptomatic a couple of days later. It will not just be symptomatic that day. It's not like you hit your head, then the next day you don't know where you are. It doesn't work that way necessarily. Easily it can be a day or two or three later. Because a concussion means many things. It means the net result of an inflammatory process. And that inflammatory process, like your sprained ankle or a cervical whiplash injury. As you know, when does whiplash come in? Whiplash, it may take a day or two or a week. And so it was very counterintuitive for this young lady to understand that her grandma was okay the day before, and that was a day or two after the head fall. So why would this happen? It must be something else, and thus the panic. But that's not the story. Well, it is, but it's not. There's another story here. And this was really wonderful for me. It was my gift. And that is that this young lady's somewhat of a computer whiz. And like a lot of young people today, they grow up with these things. And if they're gifted for them, then watching them manipulate computers is a whole other thing. And you all laugh at your grandkids doing this. And I can sit in class, molecular bio, etc., and watch students type on their Mac Airbooks as fast as the teacher talks. I have to pay someone to do that. They simply inelegantly stare at the teacher without even looking at the keyboard and get it down word for word. Wow. Then while I have to go home and ponder through the notes later on to do the lab, they're already done with the lab. They did the lab in the lab with the computer on top of the Formica desk. Welcome to education today. It's been an eye-opener for me. I'm still smarter than almost everyone in the class. That's never going to change. I think deeper. I'll get there better. But education has changed, and you are going to fail if you are not fluid with that computer. Certainly the world has changed, but doesn't change in one way, because it's Saturday night, and I'm in someone's home, and she's 99, and she's on the bed, and I have to figure out what's what. So some things never change, and believe me, that computer is not helping me, nor did it help those medical doctors. But I got it. It's a concussion. So with some herbal remedy, some TLC, some assurance, grandma's back to new within a day or two. And everybody's happy. And we got through one more inning of a long game. Now, my gift. God gives you gifts as a doctor. He puts situations in front of you. You can take them or leave them. If you choose wisely, you're given wisdom, as is the case here. This young lady, who's this computer whiz, wonderful graphic designer, brilliant in her own way, extremely Christian. She's got on this 22-inch computer screen, now get this, pictures of this woman, of her grandma, all the way till her grandma is like 1 and 2 years old. So we're going back to, right, if she's 100, you're going back to about 1912 or so. Think about that. 1914 in New Hampshire. The world's in World War I. Woodrow Wilson is trying to keep us out of a war in Germany, started in Germany. This is World War I, and this woman is born, and I'm looking at her on a bed. And then pictures of this woman when she's 2, when she's 10, when she's 12, really good photographs, preserved beautifully, downloaded onto the computer, the Mac, elegantly organized in their display. And I'm looking at this in this old home on a cold Saturday night in what was once an orange grove and now is being infiltrated by things that are ungodly. And I'm listening and looking, and I'm getting the full span of this woman's life because it's there, it's recorded. What would it be like in 100 years from now? We'll have films of people being born, coming down the vaginal canal of the mother all the way to 100 years later, perhaps, perhaps not. That's not even the story then, because on this family album are pictures of this woman's mother. So this little old lady on the bed had a mom, and her mom is in these pictures, and she lost her mother to the Spanish flu in 1918 or so, or 20, whenever it was. When this woman here was a little girl, her mother passed of the Spanish flu. Spanish flu, I believe, took 1 out of 4 people in Europe. All of you listening to this show today, almost all of you, would never, we've never lived through something like that. We've never lived, most of us, through World War I. But we've never lived through a plague. 1 out of 4 went down. Dozens of millions died in the Spanish flu. And this little woman on the bed that Saturday night lost her mom to the Spanish flu. And I saw pictures of her mom when her mom was 20 and 30 years old. And that's not even it. I saw pictures of her mom going back 4 generations. This is a family that's been able to take their genealogy from the good state of New Hampshire, live free or die, the good state of New Hampshire, all the way back to the Revolutionary War. My God. What about that? All the way back to the Revolutionary War. And I'm looking at the full span of this woman and her whole genealogy. The way it once was on a farm in New England in the 1880s, the 1890s. These are people who know how to milk a cow. These are people who have vitamin D because they're out there in the sun. These are people who know how to pick up their own sticks and take care of themselves. These are people who know how to be autonomous, who understand how to assume responsibility, how not to depend on the government for handouts, who have a whole different mentality. Now, I know about New Hampshire. I lived in New Hampshire. My parents lived in Nashua, New Hampshire for 15 years. The epitaph on the state is live free or die. These are very independent people. And this woman here, this little woman on the bed at 99, was probably the most independent in her family because her brothers and sisters are still in New Hampshire. They tend their gardens and their farm. She picked up and left for the West Coast. Thus the Orange Grove story. People past the age of 70. As a doctor, as a clinician, they go into different categories. You have to think very differently about them. And as you've heard countless number of times from Dr. Marshall, and he is, as usual, so right, digestion. We don't make the digestive enzymes. The HCl from the stomach, the protease, lipase, amylase from the pancreas, the bile from the gallbladder. They don't pour down upon, like in torrents of rain, the overcooked steak or the meatloaf. Or the meatloaf and the potatoes. They don't do that like they did it when you're 20. You can't eat a massive meal at McDonald's. No, we don't do that. But you do frozen dinners. No, we don't do that. But you eat cooked, overly difficult food to digest. You use your microwave still. And it's too much. And by the time you're 70, 75, 80, forget it. The food's going to rot. Well, then you get indigestion, and then we give you Pepcid. And you already know this. I'm not going to go into it. What I'm going to remind you is, a lot of you, you're not going to balance it out. It's not about eat what you want and drop in a couple of hot quantum digest in a few HCLs. Doesn't really work that way. So you don't digest, and what happens? You lose muscle mass. Oh, your hormones are disappearing. You don't have the testosterone, you don't have the estrogen, you don't have the progesterone, you don't have these hormones. And that's why you're losing muscle mass. So take these hormonal creams. No, digest your food. Digest your food. And let me slip this one in and remind me to come back to this before the show is over. Facelifts. And that's right. We get these facelifts. Now, I'm not going to pass judgment on them. Really not. I mean that sincerely. I'm 50. It's old enough to know that, you know, you're not 20. But the point is that these facelifts are very costly. The scars that are a result of these things will throw your entire body off. So if there's problems with digestion, if there's problems with liver, gallbladder, if there's cancer, if there's hormonal problems, if there's osteoporosis, if there's insomnia, if there's depression, and someone's got a facelift, look to the facelift. And this is a geriatric subject, because after 60, people want to get those facelifts. In France, they start at 20. So the facelift you give at 60 is very minor. Catherine Deneuve, hope I said that correctly, I believe her facelifts began in her 20s. Europe has always understood the facelift. They're costly. So whether you just got one at 40 because you're thinking ahead, or you've never had one and you're going to get one, understand these facelifts are interference fields. And we'll come back to that perhaps later. Loss of digestion, you don't make muscles anymore. Lots of people lose muscle mass. What's the problem with that? Well, it's lots of things. And they're beyond aesthetic. By the time you get into your 80s and 90s and you start falling down, you've lost so much muscle mass you can't stand up. And in this woman's case, I had to watch through the eyes of her granddaughter her fall. So I said to her granddaughter, I said, tell me, when grandma starts to fall, you catch her? And she said, of course. And this is what happens now. She can't fall. We can't allow her to fall. Someone's got to watch her so she doesn't fall. The question is, why is she falling? Is she falling, Ian, and is she conscious? Does she ever complain of dizziness? And as it turns out, if you take the time to really do the good diagnosis, to get in there, all that's happening is she doesn't have the muscle mass to keep her balance. Now, that's not intuitive, is it? It doesn't make sense that someone wouldn't have the muscle mass to keep their balance. But that's what happens. Your muscles are in an isometric contraction in certain phases. As you stand up, you do it in sets, in frames. And if you freeze the frame in that given moment, if you don't have enough muscle mass to stabilize your alignment, you fall. She's falling consciously. Oh, she was unconscious. Of course she was, because she hit her head. That's subtle. That's critical to understand. And this happens to lots of people. So grandma falls and breaks her hip. Grandma's always falling. Grandpa's always taking a tumbling. Sooner or later, that tumbling is very costly. In this case, it's because the digestion's shot. And there's no muscle mass. So we have to change the food. The other thing that people do is they stop moving. And then they're told, just walk around the house. The medical advice is, just walk around the house. Just go to the stores. Exercise is not a serious problem. Well, it is a serious problem. Because no exercise, no muscle mass. No muscle mass, no stability. No stability, you fall down. If you can keep out of a hole at 90, there's no reason you don't go to maybe 110. Who wants to fall down and break a bone and have pneumonia take you down? Who wants to crack their skull open when they hit the floor? Who wants to have a less than dignified transition? Who wants to have a less than a dignified day? So loss of muscle mass relates to a perception we have of people at a certain age, which is just walk around the house, go to the stores. No, you can't grow muscle mass. You can't protect yourself unless you move the muscles. And that's what water therapy is about. If you have a chance, if you're blessed enough to have a home, if you've got some savings, put in a pool. There are enough of you in the listening audience that can do this. There are enough of you in the listening audience that have neighbors who would welcome you. There are communities that do think in terms of the elderly. And you put in a salt water pool. You keep that toxic, filthy chlorine out of there. And you do natural salt. And you go into that pool and you move your body. Doesn't matter if you're arthritic. It doesn't matter what you weigh. All you need is some supervision. And if you don't need some supervision, better yet, you get into that water. And you can put weights on your legs. You can put them on your arms. And in an unstressed environment, in other words, the joint does not have stress in water, you can begin to strengthen your body. Now, that's a really easy way if you've got that possibility. Another possibility is walking, but not the walking that you think I'm talking about. Not the fast speed walking, not the slow walking. It's one word. It's called the uphill walking. You want to talk practically about doing something for yourself to sustain muscle mass through the later days? Walk up hills. Find a hill. Bring your partner. Whoever that partner is. If that partner is a husband, it's a husband. Or a wife. If that partner is someone that comes to the house to take you out to do these things along with shopping, then you pay them. Figure out a way to do that if you can. Well, I like to stay indoor with the treadmill because I can hold the sides to the treadmill and do it. Okay, if you have to do that, you have to do that. But don't do that unless you have to do that, because then you're missing another really important part of it. You're missing the sun. Not the sun for vitamin D. The sun to go through the pupil of your eyes. The off sunlight to go through the pupil of the eye to balance the hormones, the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the pineal gland. To keep your circadian rhythms normal so you know what time of day it is. You see, when you're cooped up indoors watching TV all day under the wrong kind of light, trapped in the house and you just don't get out day after day after day after day after day, you lose track of time in so many ways. You got to get out in the sun. And if you're not ambulatory, if you really can't move, have somebody take you out into the sun and sit there in the sun, the morning sun. Oh, but it's cold out there. Dress warm. Oh, but I'll get sick. No, you won't. You'll get sick by staying indoors. And I'm not talking about vitamin D, which, by the way, we'll get to in a moment, but which is always going to be part of a basic program for people. If you're past 70 and there's money issues, there's basic nutrition for you that you must get in to your habit. And vitamin D is one of it. But we'll come back to that. Point is, to develop muscle mass, if you can't get into the water, find a hill and walk that hill. Use it with your walker. Use your walker and walk the hill. Use the cane and walk the hill. You bet you can do it. Now here's another one. Do you have a backyard? Can you get to a community garden if you don't have a backyard? Well, if you have a backyard, put in a garden. Get those grandkids to the house. We're going to have one day for grandma and grandpa. And we're going to build out a garden in the back. And you get into that garden. And in the morning, you wake up. You eat your breakfast. And you go out into that garden. And you put your feet in the earth. Your feet, your naked feet in the earth. And you do the exercises that you've learned to do. That's another separate radio show. But you make contact with nature each day. And part of your exercise is tending to your garden. That's good exercise. If my dreams were to come true for you, you would have a hot sauna out there and a pool that was cold. And you could do hot-cold therapy going back and forth. And after your doctor cleared it, in case you're on pharmaceutical drugs and we have to watch blood pressure variations or whatever, you'd have an opportunity then to go back and forth from hot to cold after you did your little exercise. And after you dried off, then you hit the garden. Now you're there in the morning sun. You've only been out an hour. You spend another hour, hour and a half in the garden, and you take that morning sun into your body, and you get that exercise, and you breathe all the beautiful things that come off your plants, your flowers, your fruit trees, just your green grass, just your bushes. Get into nature with your feet on the earth, your naked feet. You can swing that. If not, you got to get a shoe that's not synthetic, something that's going to connect you to the earth. It's subtle, but it's powerful. No, I'm going to sit in the house under lights giving off radiation and watch TV off radiation and get on the telephone and get more radiation. Then I'm going to go to the refrigerator and I'm going to eat my food cooked, but I'll take my digestive enzymes because then I'll get that digestion. Well, you got to do better than that if you can. There's tricks. With enough knowledge, it all works. And then if you're on drugs, if you're on a lot of drugs, if you're on Lipitor, and you're finding that you're losing your muscular weakness, the statin drugs will rob you of your CoQ10. And I've had many cases of people who basically their muscular life, their musculoskeletal system is totally corrupted. They don't want to move because they live in pain. It's nothing more than the statin drugs, Lipitor, lovastatin. They come up with new ones every day. Not good drugs. We need better drugs. If you're going to be on drugs, not those statin drugs. And your blood pressure meds, I've discussed. The blood pressure meds are almost always overdone. So when somebody's on antidepressant drugs, when they're on blood pressure drugs, when they're on cholesterol drugs, when they're on any assortment of other types of drugs, from Protonix even to Pepcid, The net effect of those drugs has its own effect on your body. And that net effect explains usually about half your symptoms. And you got to understand that. One or two, okay, but when you're on seven or eight, well, I'm not telling you, in a sense, anything you don't know. You know you're not supposed to be on seven or eight drugs, but let me point this out to you. The connection you're not going to make is that you're losing muscle mass because of it. The connection you're not going to make is that you're being robbed of the integrity you deserve through symptoms that don't seem to relate to those drugs. You can easily have a host of symptoms, like loss of muscle mass. Just the general effect, the systemic effect of the multitude of pharmaceutical drugs that you're on can result in the shutdown or slowing down of basic physiological function. So it's not like you look at your drug and see if that drug has that side effect. Many of the side effects are not listed to the drug. You really got to take that one in. Now, basic nutrition. Basic nutrition, just the simple, minimal checklist, because money's tight. Yes, indeed, vitamin D. You take that vitamin D. And need I say more? Except you've got to get it measured. Because whether you're absorbing it or not is questionable. My strong finding, watching people under 50,000 units a day sometimes, is it for different reasons that we won't get into, if you check their vitamin D levels some 3 months later, you're very surprised that they haven't moved as much as they should, and that has to do with absorption. A lot of people just don't absorb it. So you got to measure it. If you measure it, then you know, and you can dose to measurement. And your medical doctors be more than happy. People look at me quizzically. Do you think my doctor? Do I need a special form to get? Doctors love to measure vitamin D. Everybody knows your vitamin D is higher than the RDA. Then there's B12. If you are not eating rare red meat or rare lamb, organic grass-fed, all the good stuff. If you're not doing that, I guarantee you your B12 is going to be next to nothing. B12 needs other cofactors for absorption. As you're older, you make less of those. So you may need higher amounts of B12 or more assimilable types of B12. Eggs are great, but not scrambled eggs. Again, you're going to look at the poached egg or the raw egg. Organic, grass-fed, fertile eggs from the farm, not Ralph's eggs or Vaughn's or Lucky's or Albertson's. Don't ever do those eggs. Burn those eggs. Don't do those eggs. But eggs have a lot of B12. And if you can get good ones in poached or otherwise or raw, that's good. It's a ton of B12, very absorbable B12. Rare red meat, rare lamb, very absorbable B12. So you get your vitamin D. The sun for vitamin D, very interesting. A lot of people are, I don't really need it, I get the sun. What you don't remember is that to get the vitamin D made, you need cholesterol in the skin. Your oils have to be in the skin. To absorb your oils, you need patency through the biliary system. If you get those oils to the skin, then the sun can bake the skin in the morning and bring up your vitamin D. But what do? You wake up in the morning and you wash out all the oil on your skin with the soap. And if it's a chemical soap, worse yet. So your skin ends up being dry. So now you're in the sun, now especially in the winter, you're cold because you don't have enough muscle mass, because there's not enough circulation, because the tendons are fibrotic because you haven't stretched, say. And the net result of that is you don't then get your vitamin D, even though you're in the sun. So this 12 or 15,000 units every 15 minutes, I believe that's the statistic or so. Really love to know how they really came up with that one. But the point is I guarantee you we're not making that for those reasons. Most of our body is covered, number one. And our face, which is what we usually wash as much as anything else, has no cholesterol on it. We've taken all the oils out. Then there's the B12. Then there's protein, amino acids, assimilable protein. Remember, if you're munching on all the carbs, you'll break them down. Carbs are pretty easy to break down in the body. They don't require a lot. They rot easily. But you can break down a carb. I mean, think about it. A plate of pasta or a well-done steak. That pasta is easier to take apart in the stomach. That pasta is easier to take apart in the intestinal tract. But the problem with the high carb is you're not going to get the amino acids. The problem with the meats and the dairies is that if they're in a pasteurized or too cooked state, you're not going to digest them, so you're not getting the amino acids. Shifting your perception of how to bring the amino acids in. 60, 70, 80 grams a day. Complete protein. Very important. So if you can't do that because of food, at least get this lean body whey into your body. That's very assimilable. If you had to make a nutritional program, you'd be looking at the digestive enzymes. You'd be looking at the lean body whey. A good 4 or 5 tablespoons a day. At least you'll get in 35, 40 good grams of protein. The nano, the liquid B12, those nanos are extremely assimilable. A teaspoon or two of the B vitamins plus the B12. Give yourself a good half teaspoon of the B12. Real important for you. Real important for you. After that, you've simply got to consider that as you age, what we're calling aging is not aging. Never listen to that word. Never listen to that word. It's not aging. This concept of aging is all off, at least in the American mindset. The reality is things have simply built up in two levels, fibrosis and mucus congestion. People don't want to take that in because it's not high tech. It is high tech, I assure you. Mucin, M-U-C-I-N, mucin. Mucin is the body's natural reaction to inflammation. Mucus puts out the inflammatory fire. And when this chronic inflammation due to toxicity and deprivation, when it's gone on too long, you're simply left with a big plug of mucus. Not just in your throat or in your sinuses, in the very core of your organ systems. If you took out your liver and cut it open and squeezed it, there would be mucus in it. So there's mucus congestion right into the extracellular space. And then as I've labored on a multitude of these radio shows to explain, you have fibrosis and granulation. You have the deposition of granular-like material, calcium oxalates, calcium hydroxyapatite, sediment that makes the kidney stone, sediment that makes the gallstone. But all of these sediments can be extracellular. They're not just about your kidney stone and your gallstone. And so we talk about aging. It's really interesting. Google up sometime the anti-aging committees. You know, I never told you that story. It's another interesting one. In the 90s, when the medical doctors were threatened, thus the birth of these HMOs, these mega HMOs, everything changed. And I did a whole story on this, I think, on medical diplomacy. A must if you want to understand who you're talking to when you're talking to a medical doctor. Well, in the early 90s, when things started to change, doctors needed okay, new markets. And one of the markets that opened up was the anti-aging market. And the anti-aging market meant you went to your medical doctor and he was now the hormonal alchemist. He had all these hormonal elixirs all ready for you that were going to keep you young forever. Well, it's a percentage, guys, but it never replaced the fundamentals. And I go on record as saying, if it's told to you or sold to you or explained to you as something that replaces fundamentals, or if it's implied to you. In other words, if the doctor doesn't stress things like sleep and exercise and mastering food, and we just tell you that in a little pamphlet at the end of the visit, and all the emphasis is on what these hormones can do, please understand that I have a bridge for you to buy. Because if you're foolish enough to believe that, you might buy a bridge. I don't mean to be cocky, but the bottom line is this is bunk. Sure, you need hormones. Sure, herbs, and to some extent, these creams can substitute. But they never replace the fundamentals. And understand that when you talk about aging, you're simply talking about business that wasn't taken care of 20 years earlier or 30 years earlier. And that's why we have this show. And I'm so glad you listened to it. StraightTalk.cc, Dr. Vincent Medici. What I want you to do is comment on the show, tell us what you love, how to make it better. In addition to which, my school, I have 20 spaces left. I'm starting my last segment of classes on November 20th. That's a week from this coming Sunday, tomorrow. That's a week from tomorrow, November 20th. All of you that signed up should have been contacted by now. If you haven't been, I want you to call this number, 310-320-1132. Talk to Clemelita. If you're going to show up for this school, I have 20 spaces left. 310-320-1132. Talk to Clemelita. She'll explain the details. Hope to see you there. I have no doubt I can move the health ball for you if I get you to these classes. 310-320-1132. On top of that, after this show, as always, I'll be taking calls. So the toll-free 888-777-0711. 888-777-0711. Call, I'll get back to you on multiple evenings as my board op will explain. Have a great week. God bless you. Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc. See you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part, you can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.